Good evening, and welcome to Good News Update. My name is Melinda, and I am very pleased to announce that my guest this evening for the Good News Update is Michael Gray.
I'm Melinda.
Usually hosting the open air radio show with Sherry Huber. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Melinda.
And I understand you're going to tell us about a rather fabulous weekend that was held by lots of folks in Mountain View.
That was certainly my experience of it.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Well, we were at the new Mountain View Zen Center,
mm-hmm.
which is a big space.
Very big.
Very big.
Kind of cavernous.
A little bit cavernous. And it needed a little bit of love and attention.
Uh-huh. You're very kind to say a little bit.
And it seems almost like that's what we specialize in practice, is love and attention.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. So that was, we could just roll up our sleeves and do what we so enjoy doing.
Yes. And for me, it's really a wonderful privilege to be with Sangha, to be with the monks, and to work together, you know, on a big project all together in that privileged
yeah.
environment. It's just
yeah,
wonderful.
And what a worthwhile project that was, getting our Mountain View Zen Center to a place where it felt perhaps a little bit less cavernous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the word that comes to mind as you said that is a labor of love.
A labor of love, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and working with Sangha is such a, it's really something you have to do to know what the experience is like.
Yeah.
But to work primarily in silence.
Yes.
And with all the willingness in the world. So what else, what can you say a little bit more about what the time was like?
Sure, I can say a lot more. On the content level, we painted the whole space, and there's a lot of walls there.
There's a lot of, I think it's 2,000 square feet, Michael.
Of wall.
Of wall.
Wow. Well, I would believe it after
yeah.
having painted many of those square feet. And also, as you said, as we talked about, it's a big space.
Mm-hmm.
And ingeniously, the monks, I believe, came up with a plan to build these movable walls to work within that space.
Uh-huh. So movable walls, and how exactly could you describe a little bit more about movable walls working within the space?
Yes. Well, it's funny as you say that because what comes to mind is that they are 69 and 3/4 inches long. I happen to know.
You just happen to know the precise measurements.
after having had the privilege of working to build those.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell me if this answers your question. But there's it's a big space. And to make it a little more intimate for the group, and also to be able to perhaps divide it up for different functions in there.
Yes, yes.
We built these walls, and they're really beautiful, and I think we built 8 of them, and they can be moved in all different directions, and they can serve as a white wall for meditation.
Yes, and they just happen to be walls on wheels, don't they?
Yes.
And
yes.
Which makes them so much easier to move than what we've been using is fairly cumbersome shoji screens.
Yes, exactly.
And so when there's a group of, say, 15 people, the walls can be moved in so the space is made really a very nice size for 15 people. And then we anticipate when there are 50 people, the walls can be moved out and accommodate 50 people.
And it was great fun to be a part of that construction project for the wall because there's a lot to do.
Uh-huh.
Somebody clearly made a very well thought out plan, and there was
mm-hmm.
wood to cut and things to measure.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my work with that was working closely with other people.
Uh-huh.
And other parts of the project were working mostly by myself.
Mm-hmm. And what did you see about those two experiences, Michael?
Well, it was fun to see when I was working with other people that seemed like, for a lot of the time, my attention was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do this, okay, do that. Okay, we're ready for the next one, do this. Okay, do this. And it was really fun to see in terms of practice that I could direct my attention to what's going on right here.
Yeah, yeah, and not have conversation going on about what's going to happen next week or last week or any of that that so easily distracts us.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed on the second day, on Saturday afternoon, it seemed I was working by myself for a part of that time, and it seemed like there was kind of a drop in energy, and conditioning was trying to start a story about how I'm fatigued and I'm not, you know, in good enough physical shape to do this kind of work.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept, I don't know what happened. I suspect continuing to practice
mm-hmm.
is a big
mm-hmm.
part of it, but I just kept working and doing my thing and tried to move my body a little bit to be more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that passed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Because if you'd stayed in the conversation about fatigued and, you know, maybe it's too much and I'm not comfortable, then it probably would have left you in that place of, oh, this is too hard. I don't want to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But somehow you were able to not really take that on and to find that your energy shifted.
Yes, yes. And I've gotten some guidance over the past, I don't know, 6 months or year or so about being enthusiastic in my work.
Uh-huh.
And that, in my experience, that really helps to keep the energy moving.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah.
And really to not give much room for the voices to get in there and get a toehold on me.
Yeah. If you want to be enthusiastic, be enthusiastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great.
And
how do you have a sense of how everything looked once we finished?
Yes, I do. It was, it's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to going there tonight. And
uh-huh.
we painted. And I think Saturday afternoon there were a big team of people vacuuming and generally cleaning up the space where we had worked and resetting out the cushion for the facilitators and everybody
mm-hmm.
else and setting up a nice bookcase for where the books go. And I think it looks 100% better.
It was really an extreme makeover, as they say these days.
Yeah.
Because it really was a big barn of a room that, when we first saw it, was filled with little computer cubbies and block walls, and the walls of the whole room were, you know, kind of worn and a fairly dull white. And we used another white, but it's a creamy white, and it made such an amazing difference in the feeling of the room. That was one of the things that struck me. And then one of the monks went down this afternoon, and so hadn't been there for a couple of days, and walked in and had the sense, we are creating a peace center.
Wow.
And that just it's so fit.
Yes.
The experience of walking in and sort of taking in the feeling of the room now.
Yes. The Mountain View Zen Peace Center.
The Mountain View Zen Peace Center, and we are really looking forward to events and workshops and just a real, probably yoga classes. It's going to be, it is and will continue to be and grow into a peace center and our wonderful Mountain View Zen Center. Yeah. Was there anything else, Michael?
No, I think it was just a really wonderful time and a great privilege to be able to participate with the monks and the Sangha, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity and grateful that I said yes.
Yeah, me too. And thank you for being willing this evening to be on the other end of the telephone, as it were.
it's a real
pleasure
a real
interviewing
privilege.
You, Michael.
Yes. Thank you, Melinda.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Great. And I hear you are too.
Yeah, I'm trying to suppress a smile without much luck.
Yeah, I think we're just going to give up on that.
Yeah.
No more attempting to suppress smiles.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
One big grin.
One big grin. Great. And I have a couple other things to grin about here.
All right.
And that is that you'll be at Mount Madonna at the end of this month for a weekend workshop retreat, July 30th to August 1st.
Right.
And there's a new event in San Diego with you, and that'll be on November 6th.
That is true, too. I'm excited about both of those things.
Yes.
Because in between, I get to go to Zambia.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think there are a couple of things in between. Isn't there something that I'm doing at the brand new Mountain View Zen Center between now and San Diego?
I think there is something in September. I want to say September 11th, but I'm not positive about
that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, if I read the whole schedule, I think we would spend most of the show doing that.
Lots of stuff to do if people want to practice.
And you'll be in Seattle, September 17th to 18th at Nalanda West. And you'll be in the Northeast, October 17th to 20th. That's a great short retreat in Chester, Connecticut. At the height of the fall foliage.
Yes, well, somebody has to go to all these beautiful places at the perfect time. And so I volunteered and he said yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't plan it exactly around that time.
No, of course not.
And the other good news is, as usual, we have many lovely people here who would like to talk with you.
Right, I'm eager to talk with them.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sherry from San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I have been so inspired. Whenever I listen to the archives, I always love it when people say, oh, I put it on my calendar, and, you know, just, I knew I was going to call because of that.
That's a very good practice, isn't it?
You know, this is the first time I've ever done that, and it was, I thought even if I didn't get on the call tonight, it was such a great workshop all day long. It was wild to watch. Like, I just thought, oh, I'll put it on the calendar because it'd be really great. You know, I love when people say that. And then all day long conditioning. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? And I was like, you know what I'd really like to do is just see what would happen if I could just be present in the moment. I don't really want to plan what I want to talk about.
Yes, and when you say that, what strikes me is the conditioned mind doesn't want you to plan what you're going to talk about either, unless it will be equally distracting as saying to you every 30 seconds, what are you going to talk about? Right? Because that, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? You know, there's a certain anxiety that builds with that.
I know.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd just bring it back to that anxiety.
I did not. You know, and it was so funny. All day long I kept thinking, there is absolutely nothing wrong, and I'm so angry. Like, it was just that.
Yeah.
I was like, how, and this is, like, I really got to see how conditioning creates a problem out of absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
There was nothing. I put something on my calendar, and then, boom, you know, a whole world of anxiety and stress and, you know, well, you got to figure things out, and let's list all your problems going on so you guys can fix them on it. You know, it was so amazing.
Yeah. And then to get to that place of, you know, actually what I want to practice is just being there in the moment, watching what arises, trusting that life is going to be perfectly in charge of what needs to happen.
I know. And I can't tell you, like, it really, just like being able to see that for myself, like to see how much I long for that. It was amazing. That was such a gift today. It was so obvious to me that it's like, that I so want that, and how rarely I actually can give it to myself.
Yeah, well, I would like to point out that that might have been true, but might be less true going forward.
Oh, I like that.
Because once you see something like that, as clearly as you saw it today, you really get what's going on. You can begin to have a different relationship with it.
Yes.
Which is why conditioned mind so doesn't want us to have clarity about what it's doing. You know, it just wants to do what it does and make it a symptom of what's wrong with you.
Right, right, right. It's talking to me right now, so I'm sorry. I'm having.
Yeah, well, it's difficult, isn't it, to talk about multitasking.
I know, it's yammering. It's funny. It's like I love how threatened. I love just how threatening this whole day has been. You know,
uh-huh.
And obviously talking to you, I love that. It's just like.
What is it yammering about?
Oh, you know, right now what it was saying in my ear was like, you know, what a stupid thing to talk. You know, people have really important things to talk about. How dare you call and not really have anything, you know, planned.
Yeah.
Waste, you know, wait.
How dare you call and just reveal me?
Yeah.
is the right. actual message there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because, you know, there is actually nothing more important for us to talk about. In the sense that it, that voice, is our only problem.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Because I'm sure I would have bought that hook, line, and sinker later on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Like, yeah, what else is there besides, like, okay, this is what conditioning's doing now.
Yes. And to see it for what it is, and be able to step back from it to any degree, puts us in a place of, well, let me look around at my life and see what's actually wrong. When that voice is not talking to me, say, well, actually, nothing is wrong. You know, there's this that I'm working on and that I'm looking at and that I'm doing, and is there anything wrong? No. It's called a human being living life.
I can't tell you. Like, I just feel this huge, like, sense of space. Like, oh, yeah, that's right.
And
it's
in that space, there's plenty of room for you to live your life and have your life be whatever it is.
Yeah, and I love that it sort of got turned on itself today because it was so obvious to me. I mean, there was absolutely nothing going on, nothing wrong at all anywhere except that. And so it's funny that it, in all of that yammering all day long, it just totally revealed itself.
Yeah, that's the joy of practice, isn't it?
It really is.
You turn that corner and you're actually aware of it instead of having it nipping at your heels. You know, for so long it just nips at our heels and we don't really know what it's doing or why, or it's just a, and
right.
then we realize, well, you are a yippy little dog nipping at my heels.
Yeah, and I just would really love to express gratitude to every single person who, you know, every time I've heard the archives and people have said that, I always think, oh, that's so great. And I'm so grateful because it's a lot different to just schedule something, and I scheduled a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, and I would like to use that awareness as a commercial for getting to a sitting group, for calling into the show, for reflective listening, but, you know, all of the things that conditioning doesn't want us to do that practice offers us so that you're going along in your day and then this thing happens that you have committed to and you have a chance simply to show up with life and have conditioned mind revealed. It's just a powerful approach to freedom.
It really is. You know, and along with that, an added commercial, because part of it was I wrote this in my practice plan. You know, I had been inspired by people who saying it, and then I thought, well, in my practice plan, I'm going to, you know, X number of times during the year, I'm just going to put it on the calendar. So I guess, that, you know, also a commercial for the practice plan, because
yes,
that really does work.
Yes, a commercial for making a plan and for keeping your commitments.
Yep.
Because I bet there was a time in your practice, I know there was a time in mine, when no matter what I had agreed to, if I had gotten, if those voices had gotten that riled up and gone so on the attack, I would have buckled under.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even today, I can't say. There were a lot of times when I was just like, oh, I'm not going to call.
I don't want to do that.
I mean,
it's
fortunately.
Not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I, of course, saw through it instantly, but how many times that did come up in my head, and you're right. You know, at another time, I think I would have just like, this is too anxiety, and I would have thought that it was the call that was producing the anxiety.
Oh, let's underline that one, because that is huge, isn't it?
Yes.
That what we're meant to believe is the problem is that darn call.
That's right.
That's what you're so, that's what's producing all that anxiety. Not me yammering in your ear all day long. No, that's not a problem.
I'm so glad you underlined that, because I did. I needed to hear that reflected back, because, wow, I wonder how, you know, it's like how many things I do that with.
Oh, and how not alone you are in that.
Yeah, and that's
yeah.
so helpful. It is so helpful.
The problem
because
is the job. The problem is the relationship. The problem is money. The problem is And the list of content is endless. But the problem is always exactly the same. And that is, there's a voice identifying something as a problem.
Yay, this was great.
Life is simple, isn't it?
It is. You know, I feel so happy. I'm so lucky. You know, it's
yeah.
great.
So back full circle. If they had talked you into coming on and saying, okay, well, I have this problem with, you know, we would have talked about that. And all of this would have remained unseen.
I know. Like, that's why I do feel so lucky that for whatever reason, you know, grace or whatever it is.
Intelligence, practice.
I'm so glad, because this is really what is
yeah.
most helpful for me to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yay, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
I imagine we'll be talking to you soon then, because I bet we're on your calendar again.
Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
Excellent.
Yay.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye, you guys.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Up with Sherry Huber. That was fun, Sherry.
Yeah. I love that. You know, Here's the thing about what Sherry introduced with that. You know, freedom, joy, liberation, you know, all the stuff that we do practice in order to have in our lives is available to us in every moment where we can just show up for whatever life gives us. Because it's always going to give us freedom, joy, liberation, expansiveness, okay? And what conditioned mind says is, no, you have to be attending to me. You have to be figuring it out and planning and in conversation and reviewing situations and all of that. That's what you need to be doing. So, of course, if you're doing that, that's what you get in life, and then it looks like that's what life is. But that's not what life is. So the only way we can actually get a sense of what life is when we show up with our hearts and our hands open and are ready to simply receive whatever is there. And that's what Sherry just modeled. You know, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to come to practice, and I'm going to let life give me whatever is the best for me right now, which is what life is always giving each and every one of us, what is best for us right now. We can trust that.
With hands wide open.
Hands and hearts open. Mm-hmm. And minds. Minds open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry. We have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan. Good morning.
How are you doing? It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I keep calling. I called last week. I spoke to Dave.
Oh, good. He's a great chap, isn't he?
Yeah,
Yeah.
And I've stayed with it all the time this time. So we're heading in the right direction, I think.
Good. And so where are you? What are you seeing?
Well, I think that I was realizing today that that you never, ever, ever win with conditioning. It just kind of really hit me very clearly.
Yeah, that is such a crucial awareness to have. You
but it's like
never,
it's more,
ever, ever, ever win.
No. And it's sort of, these things have been hanging around as intellectual takes on this practice and conditioning, and then now and again, one of them just drops down, you know, and it kind of becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it, you know.
Yes.
I see the kind of pathetic part of me that keeps sort of delivering things to conditioning, like, look, I did this, and I did this, and conditioning's like, no, it's not good enough.
Yeah. And you know, and Jonathan, here, just because you've seen that, I'd like to offer you another little something to consider. That may not actually be technically a part of you. That can be one of those situations where conditioning offers something to conditioning. Conditioning rejects it. Conditioning, in quotes, feels bad. Try harder. And so the whole thing is happening inside egocentric karmic conditioning.
Mm. I think, I mean, it's certainly a lot is shifting in a short space of time. I mean, I do certainly trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Yes, you can, can't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember what I was calling to say. I think it was just like another update. And I've been reading new books and doing I got a copy of Making a Change for Good, so I've been doing that retreat in the back after a fashion.
Oh, good.
And
yeah.
It's just, I think I got to the point where I was like expecting conditioning to lay off a little bit, but now I'm getting used to the way that it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in my experience anyway, it just ups the ante. It's going to keep trying more and harder and more and harder. And I mean, eventually you'll hit a kind of a turning point where you have more breaks, but there's also that sense that all it's doing over there behind the scenes is gearing up for the next big onslaught. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, do you want the good news that goes with that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. It gets really interesting and exciting to see how life actually works, to see what's possible for us, to see through all of the shenanigans, to increasingly get it that that is not who and what you are.
Well, I think that's what's coming over the horizon. But what's happening at the moment is that things that have puzzled me for years, you know, things that have occupied my mind and I haven't really understood why, are starting to become clear, you know, like...
Mm-hmm. You can see things. You can see things as they are, not as you've been taught to believe they are.
But it's almost like things like... I mean, when I was growing up, I got obsessed with certain celebrities and things, and I had fantasy relationships with them. And when I got into adulthood, I kind of thought, well, what was that actually about? And I never really got an answer. And then I was like looking at it this week, and I was thinking, you know what, if you've got this fantasy relationship with someone that you can never have, you know, obviously conditioning is things like one day something significant will happen with this person, but of course it never will. You know, I heard you talking about conditioning, setting things up like that on calls on the archive, like, this is what you must have, but you'll never get it.
That's exactly right.
And then, but I was thinking underneath this fantasy relationship, it's kind of like, it's having a real effect because I realize that it's allowing me to treat real people in a particular way because conditioning is always measuring them against the fantasy. It's like really interesting to discover, you know?
Yes.
It's licensing me
yes.
to sort of look down on all the real people around me because,
yes.
well, you're not going to be, you're not like Tom Cruise, you're not like Madonna, you're not like, you know, all the people that I grew up with, like, I'm not impressed with you.
Right. And, you know, you can take that out to a larger scope because moment by moment by moment, it is comparing, and this has to all be in quotes, okay, because none of this is actually the way it is, but it's comparing real life to the parallel reality that it's presenting as how life should be. And then real life, which, of course, it takes a long time for us to be able to see what's actually going on in life because we're so accustomed to seeing life through conditioning's lens. But it's constantly comparing this meal to how the ideal food should taste, comparing this movie to how an ideal movie. You know, if only they had done this, if only they had done that. Yeah, I'm in this place, but it's not like I thought it was going to be. It's not like, and people aren't acting like they should, and it's nonstop. Comparing it to an idealized reality that doesn't exist. And the only reason for the comparison is it makes suffering.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. That's the thing that's really been coming across. And I just think about hours wasted in therapy in the past, like talking about all these things and feeling, you know, feeling really stupid because I couldn't make sense of, like, you know, what's going on with all these kind of reactions to people that I don't even know. And
yeah,
it's strong
encouragement not to waste a moment of your life thinking about the moments of your life you've wasted.
No, but all I'm trying to say is that the thing about this practice is that it's as soon as I've got into it properly and I got past that stage of being unwilling to really look, it's so obvious that it's working as compared to other strategies like psychotherapy or religions or taking antidepressants to try and cheer yourself up, and that's the big realization for me.
Yeah,
that it works.
Yeah, and you know, you have to, any of those things actually could work if a person were in the right place to have them work. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to do a black and white. This works, that doesn't work. But to do awareness practice, to wake up in the way that you're talking about and see things as they actually work. Is not for everybody. You know, there are an awful lot of people who just flat out don't want to. There are people who are afraid to, people who think they can't. You know, all kinds of things are going on with people that make put them in a place of, no, that's not for me. But when you're ready and when it's for you, oh my, it is magical. It's like suddenly all the lights get turned on, and what seemed so mysterious is now clear, and what seemed clear, we can now see the mystery behind.
Exactly, because even fantasies of being, I mean, I'm successful, but fantasies of being incredibly successful always kind of brought me down, affected me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, well, the reason is because I need to be more successful. You know, you need to work harder. And now you realize, like, it's all conditioning, looping things round. It would never be enough. You're never going to win. And you withdraw from that system. It's just such a gift, Sherry.
Yeah.
And I've got this virtual version of you in my house. I've got your books. I've got the archive. So it's like it's an amazing, what you've set up here is like a really good, very supportive system for people who are
ready.
Well, I mean, I kind of put my toe in the water, and now I'm like all the way in now in just a couple of months. So
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great. And I cannot tell you how happy I am for you, because I can remember so clearly that place of just falling in love with awareness, and realizing, you know, get that, just that realization that, oh my God, like I thought it was. Watch everything open up, and all I can tell you is, I'm still right there. Very happy for you.
Well, thank you for being there again.
You're most welcome.
Can I just ask, do you have any thoughts about, like, the frequency with which people call the show? Because I feel like I just want to call all the time at the moment.
Well, we used to have a monk at the monastery who would be a terribly nice, considerate guy, and he would wait until everybody else had signed up to talk to me before he'd put his name on the list. And with some great regularity, I'd go by and think, oh, well, I guess everybody who wants to talk to me has signed up, and I'd cross off the list. And so finally he said, you know, it's all well and good to be generous and kind and noble, but actually I want the guidance. So
right.
I'm going to sign up as fast and as often as I can.
Right.
And
okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll leave it there for tonight then.
All right. Get some rest.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Michael. Bye.
Good night, Jonathan.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was very inspiring.
People doing practice. Practice. It's inspiring.
It is inspiring. Yeah. It's just really fun to see and hear what I project as a real opening and commitment and
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't know what you guys were talking about earlier or where this, but it's, again, you know, I probably talk about this all the time. It's just that I never remember what I say. So as I like to point out, it's all new for me. But, you know, that place of falling in love with practice, falling in love with awareness, and realizing how really beautiful life is, exactly as it is, exactly where we are. You know, that's a relationship. It's grace, it's a gift, but it's a relationship. And it's not going to stay like that if we don't do our part in the relationship. So, you know, we have to keep the romance alive. And the way we do that is by continuing to expand and deepen our practice, to participate, to show up, to make those commitments, as Sherry was talking about, or as we were talking about with Jonathan, you know, to really give our lives to that which has given us our life. And when we do that, we never lose that magic. We never fall out of love. And we can have a lifetime living in that wonder and joy and excitement and gratitude and expansiveness can last a lifetime, and I suspect beyond.
Wow. That's a good deal.
A very good deal.
Very good deal.
You got some words of wisdom for us there? A little, somebody going to talk to us?
Yes. And first we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then
yep.
We'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathed in an ocean.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Sherry, we have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janet calling.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How's it going with you?
Well, it's going okay.
Hey, now you're one of those make a commitment people that
I know.
Sherry was talking about.
I loved listening to Sherry.
Uh-huh.
It was great because I was like, well, yeah, that's great, because I think every time I've called, we've talked about that. And so it's so inspiring that that has, because I got it from someone else who called you and was talking about it, and then I got that, well, I'm going to do that too. And then that's
how
it goes.
Yep.
Yeah. And, it was so interesting because I had made other plans for tonight. And then yesterday I was looking at my calendar and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to change the plans because I really want to keep that commitment to myself. And so I switched things around, changed it so I could be here for the phone call. And then at 7:15, I found myself driving in my car going somewhere. And all this, I had forgotten. I was
Whoa.
Like, oh, my God, I want to call into the radio show.
Wow.
So I had to do what I was doing really fast, but I thought that was really amazing. I mean, I was still, it was still going out of my head.
Yeah, and do you...
Or conditioning was there saying,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to go do this.
Yeah,
You need to do it right now. It was. You had to do it right now. I'd put the dogs in the car. We got to go. And then I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, wait a minute. My gosh. Checking to see if I have enough time to do that and get back. So that was really interesting.
Uh-huh. It's slippery, isn't it?
It's so slippery. Well, I was just thinking also while the commercials were on that it would be really interesting to do a whole thing about people calling in to the radio show, what everybody goes through, people wanting to speak in group, what everyone goes through. Do you know what I mean? There's just so much in all of that.
Yes, and so much similarity.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and everybody thinking they're the only one who has trouble with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that it must be really easy for them.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course they can do it. Well, that's what you're being told.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They've
and they, and
special...
they sound fine when they talk. You sound like an idiot. You're really, you're really boring and don't have anything interesting to talk about. Yeah. I hear a lot of that in groups, just people confessing the kinds of things that the voices are telling them. But to put it out there in a way, again, like the there's nothing wrong with you work, where people actually have an experience of, oh, my God. So they all have going on in their head exactly what goes on in my head. Gee, I thought it was me.
I know, isn't that? That's just such an amazing moment when you really see that.
Yeah.
And I loved tonight listening because I've had all of those things, I don't really have anything to talk about. And it's interesting because tonight I have something to talk about, but conditioning was telling me, well, now you have something to talk about, and, you should really have nothing to talk about. Because Sherry had that great conversation with Sherry about, you know, you don't really have to have anything to talk about, and now you've got something to talk about. So that happened, and then your last phone call, it was interesting when he was asking about, you know, what's appropriate, or can you call, you know, what's the call schedule? And so, you know, I kind of made my call schedule. I'm going to call once a month, and it was like, well, wait a minute, you're not doing that enough. You know, it's like, right. No matter what, you get the message that you're on the wrong end of the
Well,
stick.
That's it. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong. Whatever it is, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, and it has no problems. It has problems if you're inconsistent. You should be consistent. But it has no problems whatsoever being inconsistent. It'll get on whatever side of the duality is opposite to the one you're on.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't believe that. Yeah. It's so fun. That's the other fun part, is to be, just to be there and then listening to, I know what I'm going through calling, and then to listen to what I'm being told about what I'm doing. While I'm waiting.
So you have a topic for us? You have an actual
topic? I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to say what it is and risk the wrath? Okay.
Yeah. So I was just on vacation last week, you know, went away to a place, and when it was time to leave, I really had a hard time. It was like I didn't want to leave. And, you know, I wanted to stay forever. I didn't want to come home. And I was watching the whole conversation happening, and I was watching how, conditioning came in and was telling me, you know, you really should have signed up to stay longer. Now you've got to leave, and you're going to miss the best time. The weather's going to be great next week. You know, it was everything that could come up to just really get me agitated.
Uh-huh.
And one of the commitments I had kind of made to myself this summer was that everything I was going to be doing this summer, because I'm doing a few different things, that I was going to really put myself fully into each experience, you know, and then be there for the next experience. And at the end of it, I was just like, and so I think it was because I like pronounced that, you know, like this is the way I want to do it, that I think that's why that great big wave of conditioning came up, you know, to say, oh, you can't even do this. This is the wrong thing. You shouldn't be leaving. Your reality is wrong.
Yes.
Your reality should be something different.
Right. Well, and this is the current it that you are doing wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. So how you are is wrong, and this situation is wrong. How you're approaching it is wrong. What you have planned is wrong. How you execute it is wrong. You know, if we break it down in that way and get it, that everything that arises is a variation on the theme of you are wrong. Or we could just narrow it down to wrong, because sometimes they're wrong or that's wrong. It's not always you.
Yeah, and it came full circle because I came home, I was all wound up, I was watching myself be the sufferer, I was watching the suffering, and I was like, I'm not going to pay attention, I'm going to go outside and work in the yard. So I started pulling things, and I fell over and fell backwards and hurt my knee, and then, you know, it was like, I can't believe this, look at what you're doing, you know. You were so upset, and now you've done this, and now you've hurt yourself, and now you're not going. And then it just, like, continued. And finally, I really just said, stop. I can't do this anymore. I'm not having this conversation.
I can't. I won't. I choose not.
Yeah.
I choose not to have this conversation. I am done.
And so I came in, and I actually announced to my husband, I said, conditioning is just going on and on and on, and I am really suffering, and I'm going to go meditate. you know, or I'm going to go, I got to figure out something else to do.
It is so bad, I have been driven to meditation.
But you know what, Sherry? It didn't just go right away.
No.
And it's
you're
been...
probably meditating wrong.
But I'm finding my way, I'm coming back to a place of, I want to call it a place of equilibrium again, where, but I guess what the conversation is that I'm realizing is conditioning telling me, you know, well, it's taking too long for you to, you know, you just fly off the handle at anything. You're right, Sherry. It's just all about wrong.
Yeah.
I don't even have to say anything else.
Yeah, whatever it is,
it's all wrong. No matter
and when,
what.
When you get off this call, you will have done this wrong.
This will have been wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I don't even have to say anything else. That's the conversation.
So I realized in this conversation, our conversation and the previous conversations that because I've been away, I was away for a week as well, taking my grandbabies to the beach, which was quite fun, and we didn't have internet. So, you know, at the monastery, we didn't have internet for like 2.5 weeks or whatever it was. I had it for a few days and then went to the beach, and there was no internet there. So it's like I'm living in a different decade at this point. But I really want to do write a blog tomorrow on this subject, and the subject is falling in love. Okay, because that is the other side of what we're talking about, right? Is falling in love. Because when we fall in love, we don't have any time or interest for what's wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Well, it really is true. And I was really resonating and listening carefully to what you were talking about with the previous caller on that, because that so seems what it's called for.
Yeah. And so to take it from, gosh, this is wonderful, I feel like I'm in love, I really want to keep this alive, you know, which is, I was projecting onto Jonathan, but I think it was pretty accurate. And then for those of us who have been in practice for a while, you know, keeping the relationship alive, but I think we need to just go on a campaign of falling in love.
Mm.
Just to prove to ourselves that we are in love. We're already in love. And then to fall in love with the love that we're already in. I just think that would be a great project for us.
I love what you just said. Yeah, did you say to fall in love with the love that we're already in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we're already in love, which is what conditioning, what that conversation is trying to distract us from. So, you know, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, you know, there you are in love. And what is the conversation about? You're missing something. There's something wrong. If you do this, then you'll be happy. So you give up love in order to try to get something that you've been convinced you're lacking. There's something wrong. There's not enough of something. You need to get something else. There's dissatisfaction. And all that's doing is distracting us from the fact that we're already living in love. So periodically we get to fall in love, but we think it's something that should just happen to us. Okay, so it's a peak experience, or it's an awakening, or it's a whatever it is, or it's the general, you know, there's the magical person, there's the circumstances, you know, you got the job of your dreams, or whatever it is. But to volitionally fall in love with the love that we are in, this is a good pursuit.
And that's really the only way we can do it, right? And not suffer, because everything keeps changing. So if we keep thinking that it's that other thing,
right.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that is so beautifully stated. Yes. That's the only way actually to stay in love. We have to be focused on the love, not on the object of love. So the blog that I want to write has that component of love with no object.
Yeah, and that seems to be the trap.
Yes.
We
attach to an object, and then we lose sight of the love and get focused on the object. And then when the object, we get talked into believing that there's something wrong with the object. We get talked out of the love, focused on what's wrong with the object. And then, of course, suffering is right there.
Yeah. Oh, right there. Huge. I love it. I can't wait to read the blog. And I'm glad to be of assistance.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Huge assistance. And I'll have to get Michael to give me these archives very quickly so I can know what we talked about. Yeah. Be inspired.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye, Michael.
Bye, Janet. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think this is a great opportunity to stop, drop, and breathe.
Breathe in the love.
Breathe in the love.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How's it going? Hi.
It's going really well. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. Is there an object to this excitement, or you're just excited?
Well, I'm excited about being excited, and I'm also excited about, I'm excited about calling. I'm excited about getting through. I've been trying to get through for a couple weeks now in a series of technological snafus. I don't know. I'm just really happy to connect and to check in.
Great to have you with us.
Yeah, really inspired by the last call. What was coming up for me during the call was that whole idea about being in love with being in love, and how conditioning. So once what was coming up for me was like conditional love. You know, like we always talk about unconditional love.
Yes.
And how conditional, something being conditional is exactly that. It's like because of whatever. And how that, just kind of seeing in my own life how many times like the because of or the reason why or like that whole conversation is just like sucks my life, It's just like a kind of a dead end street.
Yeah. So when you said that, what I saw was we say this about a lot of things, but love is what's there when you stop doing everything else. So love is what's there when the conversation isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is everything. And the conversation is what takes it from unconditional to conditional.
Yeah, like it's like there's got to be a reason. It's like the muck or whatever. So it's just really helpful to see. I guess what I'm looking at, I guess, for the, today, my life, whatever. It's all the same. What I've been looking at is just, so there's a lot of stuff going, like a lot of, like, changes and things and lots of stuff going on in my life,
mm-hmm.
Just, like, content-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, it was like a shift, I think, a big shift that happened for me in January. And I feel like my commitment to practice is, it's almost like, you know, had a really rough couple of years and there was like a real sense of like, you know, practice really helped me. It just sort of led the way for me that those times. It was like there was no other option but to practice because the alternative was, you know.
Right.
It was
a life raft.
Right.
You're out in the middle of the ocean, and it is the raft. So you're going to be in it.
Exactly. It was like the choiceless choice. It was like, I've just got to do this. And while it still feels like that, so the content of my life is now, really great stuff and all this, like, you know, really exciting and fun, and I'm exquisitely happy. And there's also a sense of, like, and I need to practice. And I'm, in a way, it's a relief that that's still the way it feels like, because I can see how in the past it would have been really easy to make. It's almost like making it conditional, you know,
yeah.
Like I'm practicing because da da da.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes, attempting to use practice to make use of practice. In a way, we could say making use of practice to help have a better egocentric life.
Yeah, to make my life what I think it should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, to give practice the benefits of practice to conditioning.
Yeah.
Yep, we
or,
do that.
Yeah, and maybe that's how I started, but it feels like in a way that's been different for me. It just feels like, you know, it's really, I feel like I'm really, in a way, being able to see how this orientation to things, it's so relaxing because it's, you know, I heard myself saying today and it's, you know, was something along the lines of like, you know, yeah, my job and yeah, this stuff and yeah, this other thing, but what's really important is that I sort of keep my feet on the ground in a way, like that it's like I'm practicing, you know, which what I'm really thankful for is that all this stuff that's coming up, it's like I can see it in a way that's like it's practice opportunity.
Yeah, it's what you're, it's the content of your practice. It's what you're practicing with.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
very different from I'll practice so that I can go unconscious and be all right for a period of time.
Right.
Because that's the way, you know, a lot of folks spend a good amount of their life like that. They're suffering. They practice.
Mm-hmm.
They get kind of back on track, and then they go unconscious again until they run out of steam. And then when
right.
they find themselves, you know, down and out again, they go, oh, I need to practice. But, you know, you can actually only do that for so long. And then
right.
a person is going to either make a choice against practice, which means trying to continue to do practice for ego, which will not work,
mm-hmm.
or they realize, well, practice is what this is about. The content of life is largely irrelevant as long as the commitment is to practicing, to waking up and ending suffering.
Yeah. And it feels like from that place, it's where all that like exuberance is, and like in a way, what my life looks like right now from where I'm sitting, you know, right now, it's like I can see how all this stuff which is showing up for me right now, it seems like, wow, like I can't believe it. You know, it's like this so perfect place, you know, and then looking back on all the, you know, kind of stuff that someone wants to label as crappy was like this, in a way I can see how all of that, all, you know, each one of those steps was like brought me to here.
Yes.
And from living from that place, it's just like, well, that's what this is, you know, like keeping reminding about like all these things that I can do to support myself to keep coming back to that place of just, you know, here I am and wow.
And I'm going to say yes and thank you. I'm going to learn to say yes and thank you regardless of life circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fairly good definition of freedom.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like I wanted to call in and really mark it because I feel like, you know, there certainly was a there have been moments, you know, while I've been practicing where it's like, I have no idea what is going on here, but, you know, and, you know, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
And it was almost like, it almost feels like that's still what I'm doing.
Yes.
And though, yeah.
Well, just a little image to go with that. There's an expression in practice of burning away karma.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're just having a terrible, terrible time,
yeah,
and there's the willingness to just sit still, pay attention, take it all, let it all go, let it be as it is, not do anything to try to escape, but just be with it. And the image
mm-hmm.
is burning away the karma, because the karma is perpetuated when we try to escape from what's going on with us, right? So we go into karmically conditioned actions in order to try to save ourselves. And when we learn to just sit still and let it all be as it is, then we burn away that karma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a little image to go with that.
Yeah, it's really helpful to hear. Because in a way, it's like, Once it's happened once for me, it's like I realize like that's what's been, you know, like if life's gonna throw something else at me at some, you know, is throwing something at me, but you know, at some point again, my hair will be on fire, and it's almost like it, you know, having experience going through it with practice. And seeing, just seeing, like, you know, how things turn out, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Or are turning out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, you know, it's really this feeling of just like, yep, you know, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, life. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm in. So.
Precisely.
Yeah. So
it's good, isn't it?
It's really good. It's really good.
And it is the magic. Mm-hmm. Even if there's nothing extraordinary going on, you know, when we talk about magic, it seems like, well, this should be really big.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be anything that anybody else would see as extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it is extraordinary and it's magical because of the relationship that you are in with life.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to, you know, making sure that that I'm showing up for myself to, you know, to remember, I think once he told me, or said something like this, like, remembering where the plug is, you know, like, remembering to remember.
Yeah.
And availing myself of all the supports that I know
yes.
work.
And one
yeah.
of my favorite images with that is when I take care of myself, I take care of life. So again, it's that love relationship, you
mm-hmm.
know, where you are letting life take care of you in love.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens, you are taking care of life in love.
Yeah, because I'm allowing it to live me in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to receive it and then be that for everything else.
Yeah. Feels good.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to, you know, also thank you.
Well,
thank
it's
you,
always
thank you, Sangha.
It's always good to hear. It's always
yeah.
good to check in and let us know. You know, so often in practice there is people have that belief. You know, Sherry said you know, started us off talking about it, but conditioning would like to say at a certain point, you know, you need to have a problem, you need to have an issue. And then, of course,
mm-hmm.
it gets the information that, no, actually, you don't need to have that. So then if you have one, you shouldn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
But it is great when people just simply check in with wherever they are in practice. You know, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just so expansive and we're so grateful and just can't believe how fabulous it is. And sometimes we're slogging. We're doing the one foot in front of the other and
mm-hmm.
just showing up. But that's
mm-hmm.
the whole thing, just being together with wherever we are with our practice.
Yeah. In a way, it just feels really good. It feels really good to do it because it feels like I'm really, you know, I'm showing up for myself and I'm, you know, like all these little guys inside me, it's like I'm really being like showing up and being like, we're still here. This is still what we're about. This is still what we're doing. And it, in a way, all these little guys just feel really cared for.
Yes, and all these little guys out here do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right,
good to
thanks.
Talk with you.
Good to talk to you too. Take
all
care.
All right. Good night.
All right, bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You've been listening to the Love and Magic Show on Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Mr. Magician.
Do it again.
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Good night, Michael.
Good night, Sherry.